Nancy Birtwistle, do you always match your books with what you wear?
This is intentional today.
It is?
I have to say. I thought, do you know what? I have a jumper that colour.
So I love it.
Why not?
What do you call it now? Would you call your cover purple, lavender?
I think
lilac? Come on. Nancy Birtwistle knows everything.
I think I'd say lavender.
Okay.
I think I'd say lavender.
What can we use lavender for, apart from smelling nice on our moth? What do I do with my moths, Nancy?
Lavender.
Oh, you see, I knew.
There's a moth spray in there.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Woolen detergent. There's a whole chapter on care for woolens.
So
there's woolen detergent, how to wash woolens. I even washed a woolen coat, a bright yellow woolen coat.
What, at home?
Yes.
Really?
And that's in there. And...
Can we go back to moths? Please, can we go back to moths?
Moth repellent
spray,
yes.
So, Nancy, my favourite jumper is bright pink, unsurprisingly, and it's got smileys on the elbows, and somebody has completely and utterly, moths have completely eaten it to... There's a moth coming in now. The moth knows. They've eaten it, but lumps... Not just little nibbles, a big lump out of it.
Yeah, it's the little grubs. The adult moths lay their eggs.
I put it in the freezer.
Yeah, but and they lay their eggs. As the eggs hatch, the little grubs eat your jumpers. Well, they'll eat linen, they'll eat cotton, they'll eat wool.
It's only my posh jumpers that they eat.
Yes, they're expensive. They're not interested in polyester.
No, but I know, but it's my cheaper wool ones they're not interested in.
No.
But my cashmere.
I know. It's heartbreaking.
How do they know it's cashmere? What are they doing?
They know.
Oh.
They know. Yeah. In fact, what I do with mine...
Go
I
on,
have
tell me.
Some, in fact, I bought one time, quite a few years ago, an expensive cashmere jumper. And it was given to me in a bag.
Yeah.
It, one side was like plastic, see-through plastic, and the other side was like a woven sort of, presumably polyester with a zip. And they said, always keep your jumper in that.
And do you?
Yeah.
Still?
To keep it moth-free, yeah.
Does it go static? Because you probably have got something to stop static as well.
Got something to stop.
See? What do you not know?
Well, it's like anything. The more you know, the more there is to know. And if I want to know something, I'll try and research it. And you do get some conflicting stuff on the internet. So then what you have to do is have a go yourself.
How did it all start? I mean, I know we'll talk about Bake Off and we'll talk about all of that. But how did the clean and knowing all this, where did it come from? Did your family do this when you were growing up?
My grandmother certainly was born just before the First World War. So they had known very much how to make do and mend. You know, there were no cleaning products particularly.
Yeah.
It was vinegar, it was bicarbonate of soda.
Which is what you use and you've shown us on Morning Live.
But I thought, I knew a little bit because you take things in as a kid, don't you? And I remember having some in a sort of sugar shaker and things like that. But then I thought, people aren't going to do that now. We need to bring these old ways into the 21st centuries. And, you know, we've got essential oils for perfumes because we've been brainwashed into believing that if something smells nice, then it's clean, which of course is nonsense. But
I've never thought of it like that. I mean, I think you and I have had this conversation. I am obsessed with smells because I have a super nose. And if I don't like a smell, then... So I hate cleaning products, fake cleaning products full of rubbish and bad things for the environment because I can smell that they're not good.
And once you've gone green, I mean, I'm now into my sort of 11th year of
Isn't
it.
Isn't that amazing?
And it is addictive, but in a feel-good way. And what I find now is I can smell fabric softener a mile off.
Yes!
I can smell... If I get into a car that's got an air freshener thing, I can feel a headache coming on.
I'm the same.
My nose, I've got a good nose. My nose just knows the difference between a natural smell and a chemical synthetic smell.
We'll be a nightmare on a day out together, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
We'll be sniffing everybody. Go, oh, no, don't, no, like, yeah. no, don't like that. So, for, okay, what's a smell that you love then? Lavender?
I like lavender, yeah. Mm. I like the smell of lavender. I like the smell of eucalyptus, amazingly, because eucalyptus I thought was too pungent and too strong. And then I had a little bottle of organic essential oil that I'd bought that was eucalyptus, and I thought, that's just too heavy for me. And I thought, well, I'm going to use it up in my fabric softener. It is amazing in a fabric softener.
Really?
Because it leaves not even a eucalyptus smell, because eucalyptus is quite strong. That's and up your nose.
That's my face is giving you that.
Yeah. Oh. It does that. And I thought, I'm going to use this one up. And I thought, this laundry is coming out the washing machine. It smells absolutely amazing. A kind of pine kind of fragrance.
Not Lou Cleaner pine.
No.
Okay, good.
And then on the line, blowing around, and then, because I still iron. I'm a bit old school. But I love white crisp.
I like that by steam. Should I not say that to you? I steam.
No, that's absolutely right. Fine.
Can you forgive me?
Yeah, yeah. Thank Some you. People don't iron at all, but I'm just, it's just, I like.
Yeah.
I like ironed white pillowcases and things like that. And I was ironing, I thought, I'm still getting just a faint, nothing too, I'm just getting a nice, fresh perfume.
Okay.
Not overpowering, so not lasting, but it's pleasant.
Eucalyptus with what?
Just with vinegar.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Now, which vinegar? Because we're not talking your fish and chips vinegar, are we?
We're talking distilled white vinegar, 30p for 700 mils
Isn't
in the supermarket.
Incredible.
And if you really don't like, if you say, no, I don't like the smell of vinegar, you can, of course, infuse it just with orange peel or lemon peel, and it takes on a citrusy tone rather than that pungent vinegar smell.
I love vinegar.
Yeah, I like it.
I like eating it. Anything that's in vinegar, I love it. I love pickles. That's a whole other conversation. But we clean our kettle. We Nancy Birtwistle, our kettle. And then whenever we do it, I go, Nancy, I'm doing the kettle. Like you're there in our house. Because you showed us how to do that on Morning Live. And it really, really works. It's so clever.
Yeah, it's. And I mean, I discovered all these things. It's not like I knew it all. But I decided, and I think it was having grandkids, because I looked
You've got
at the
10? 10?
Between us, we've got 10, yeah.
Wow.
Because what's it called nowadays? A
blended family.
And you see the little faces. And I just thought, what is it going to be like for them? And as things have moved on, I started off very much with an eco head on and thinking, you know, looking after the planet and everything else.
What so many people are doing to our planet, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. And, you know, there are those people, and I get it, that say, actually, you're wasting your time because there's so much other stuff.
No, we all have to do a little something.
I think so. Yeah. I think if every little kitchen did something. And I do think there's an appetite for it.
Here comes the tea. Joe is look at that.
Oh,
Joe's
Joe
in your tea.
There you go. Now.
Marvellous.
Are you going to pour it for her as
well?
Yeah,
of course I am. Yeah.
Thank you. That's
only the best for our guests.
You're going milk second. Maybe Nancy likes milk first.
I do milk first.
I knew it.
Whether is that a bit Yorkshire? I don't know.
That might be Yorkshire.
I love this is happening on the podcast.
Because, you see, there is a story behind this,
go
isn't
on,
there?
Go on.
You're maybe
Joe,
a bit,
sit down. Come
you're
on,
maybe a
in.
Bit posh, Joe.
Go on,
because
Joe.
The history behind it was only the finest china could withstand very hot tea first. So poorer folks with less finer china would put the milk in first and then pour the tea because it wouldn't crack the china. So you're obviously from
He's very posh.
Good
very
stock.
Posh.
Thing is, how do you know how much
is that
how
colour
strong
okay
it is?
For
That's
you?
Perfect, actually.
Oh,
very good.
Joe. You. I love that. Love that. We were talking about grandchildren.
About grandchildren. And I looked at the little faces and I just thought, what's it going to be like for them?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, even if you're a climate denier, even if you're thinking, yeah, no, all of us want to save some money. And all of us want to protect our own health. And all you have to do is read the reverse labels on our cleaning products.
When you read them, it's so shocking. Yeah. But what we're doing, you know, it's you and I've had this conversation as well about what you put down your loo.
Yes.
Absolutely. What you're doing to the environment, what you're doing to the fish and all those fatbergs and the Tampax bergs but also what you're doing to the wildlife. It's awful.
And I think, and I certainly, up until I started doing this, you think about throwing things away. I'm going to throw that away. But we're all on this same planet. It's not good. It's still on our planet, you know. And if you're throwing a plastic bottle away, and even if something on the bottle says decomposes, or what's the word that they say?
Decompostable.
Yes, yeah, something
compostable.
Like that. Well, compostable's fine.
Yeah,
because that means
fine.
It can go in the compost. But
recycling, you don't know if it's...
Less than 9% of plastic is recycled.
Don't.
It's awful.
So it's very interesting. There's a product that somebody I know launched, and they're in little plastic bottles. And I asked them why, and they said, because we wanted to do them in little tins, we wanted to do them in little glass, but the price was expensive, and people said they didn't want them in that. I think, but hold on,
Yeah. That's really why, and I know it's not for everybody, you know. I've had even my own family members say, you know, we're working full time, we've got the kids, are you really expecting us to mix our own cleaning products?
It doesn't take long,
and you can make them in bulk. None of those things go off. I found a bottle of Pure Magic on the back of the cupboard that I'd done for some filming at home, and I thought, God, and I looked back on my phone, and I thought, God, that filming was a year ago,
and
this Pure Magic was still fine.
So, Sunday Times bestselling author, you're never going to get bored of that. Isn't it a great line?
Yeah.
Isn't it a great line? Clean Magic, essential new tricks for a sparkling green home. It's you. Through and through, these books are so wonderful. Oh, look, 101 new tips.
Yeah.
But these books are you through and through. And I want to, if we may, just go back to before all of this. And I suppose the first time that all of us knew you was when we were watching
Bake Off.
The OG, the original Bake Off.
Yeah.
And you tried to get onto Bake Off the year earlier, hadn't you?
I did. And what a good job I didn't. Because I tried to get onto Series 4. Because I'd retired and I thought, is this it now until I'm dead? Because I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. All I was seeing was old people, and I was only 52.
Oh, isn't that ridiculous?
And I thought, you know, I'd worked full time like forever, and then suddenly you're not. And that was for me a big mistake. And my husband said to me, why don't you join the St Mary's Church Ladies Group? I said, are you having a laugh? Is that really? I did go once and to a ladies' group, and they were making things out of old socks, and I thought it's great, but it's not really. It's not going to give me what I want.
It does a great job. It does a great job,
and there's a community thing,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
It was good.
But it wasn't for you.
But it wasn't for me, and I did enjoy baking, and. Part of my retirement was on a Thursday. I'd become a Bake Off fan by then. And so I used to watch Bake Off. And then on a Thursday, I would practice the technical challenge. And I thought, actually, I could do this. I think I could do this. So I entered Series 4. I had two auditions, I think, and got really quite excited about it, told everybody, even the butcher.
Not the butcher.
Yeah, you never believe I've got. I've been auditioned twice for Bake Off. No, yeah, I have. Yeah, this, that, and the other. And then I got the call to say, "I'm sorry, but you've not been successful." So I said, "Why is it? Because I'm too old? Because I'd got this thing in my head about age that you know I was."
Well, it's out there. Ageism is out there, but.
And I said, "Is it because I'm too old?" And they said, "God, no, no. It was because your bread was rubbish."
Oh, that's hysterical.
So we'd had to take a bread as part of the audition. Mine was rubbish. And in fact, I think Paul Hollywood said to me, because he was at the audition, and he said to me, why have you underproved your bread? I don't know. I didn't even know I had. You don't know what you don't know, do you?
Yeah.
So I spent a year practicing bread, and then I applied again. Got onto series five. Didn't tell a soul because I had to. Not even the butcher because I'd had to go back and because everybody I saw then said, "How did you get off with your How did you get on with your Bake Off application?" Oh, I didn't get on, but I didn't want to do it anyway. You know, it was one of those situations. And then I got onto series five, and it turned out to be the series that went on to BBC One.
Yeah.
So for me, it was fantastic, and the series that went to the States.
And it, I know people always use this expression, but it really did dramatically change your life.
Oh, unbelievable!
I mean, yes, literally unbelievable. You never thought when you entered it that all these years later, was it 2014 you did it?
Yes.
So 12 years later, you're going to be Sunday Times best-selling author, own shows, million followers on socials, and walk down the street and people go, all right, Nancy.
Yeah.
You never saw that coming, did you?
No. No. And I don't know. It's a funny thing because it's not for everybody, I don't think. I think I'm not very good at, especially social media, because they can just say, people can just say what they want.
Delete.
And at first it's a bit because you think, well, I would never say that to somebody.
Yeah.
So why is it, you don't know me, so why? But it would upset me.
Yeah.
But now I think the skin thickens.
But also you don't, in the nicest possible way, Nancy, I can't imagine anybody being abusive to you. Maybe there's climate deniers who would be, but they're, you know, that's them. But I can't imagine anybody else being nasty to you because you're just good, kind, lovely, generous, sweet, funny person.
Well, I try to, because I think, especially with this green lifestyle change, I think if I'm not there as a helpline, people might give up. They might think this, it doesn't work, or it's, you know, and that's why the books keep, because it's really responding to questions. You know, washing machine mould, all the, you know, and it's great when it works. It absolutely gives me the buzz. I'm thinking, this is so good. It is so good. You just need four basic ingredients and you can crack anything.
But now, with this book, is there the when you sit there, okay, at the end of the day, you sit there and oh, now I've opened it. You will need, for the pre-soak bucket, a bucket. love that. But when you sit there and you pick up your books and you read this and best-selling, is it all slightly unbelievable? And you said it was then, but is it now? Or are you used to it all?
It's a funny thing because most of my work is done just in a solitary space. Like writing is a very solitary experience. You're just sitting there, and you might be, you know, in a little room, and you're just in front of your computer. There's nobody there to talk to. And then, you know, after a process of events, there's a whole team come together, illustrators, copy editors, proofers, and, you know, index writers, all these people. And then there's this book, and you think, you know, that's made a journey from just being on my computer with me to a gorgeous piece of work like that. And that is fairly humbling, I think, because...
I like that you feel that.
Yeah. I don't, you know, and there is an anxiety, I think, about with every book, because you're thinking, I like it and I'm proud of it. I just hope everybody else...
Of course they will.
Sees it the same.
You're very, I'm sorry that you got any abuse because you're so loved. I mean, when I said to people, oh, Nancy Birtwistle at last is coming on the podcast, when everyone does the same thing. They go, oh, Nancy, oh, I trust her. Yeah, and actually, isn't that lovely? People trust you.
Yeah, I think I try, I'll be honest with people. There's no point in putting a post out, and let's face it, there's a lot of stuff that you'd see on social and you think, that's not going to work. And yet there may be thousands and thousands of people that have liked it, and I just look at it and I think, and then you look at the comments and say, sorry, mate, this didn't work, and this, that and the other. But I haven't had that. because they work.
How does it feel to be so trusted? That must be lovely.
It's nice. Yeah.
If you speak your mind, though, which I also love. You and I have had some conversations, which not for now, but you've said a couple of things about things, and honestly, I was just like, wow, you're reading my mind, and you went, oh, I don't miss a beat. You don't miss a beat, do you?
I think,
don't miss a thing.
Yeah. I think I've been around the block a few times. I think I can suss people out fairly well.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Which is a lovely gift to have. Do you still do the... obedience dog training?
I have a dog that isn't that obedient.
Croft, weren't you? Didn't you go to Crofts?
Oh, I brought it.
Oh, is this the thing that brings you joy? Okay, did I spoil it? Okay, it's meant to be a surprise.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay, this is what brings you joy.
This, every time I see it, right?
Look at that.
Now, so, when I get a bee in my bonnet, just
inter-regional
like...
Inter-regional Crofts, 1989.
Back in my 30s, I was never allowed a dog when I was a child.
Oh.
So when I was a grown-up person with my own house, and I thought my kids are going to have a dog because I always really, really wanted a dog. So I got a Labrador puppy. Everybody loves a Labrador puppy. And she was called Meg and she was gorgeous. And I thought, but this dog, I want her to behave herself. And I don't know anything about training dogs. So I went to a dog training class and then I thought, this is a bit daft. All we're doing is walking around in a circle with a dog on a lead and each one was just sniffing the dog in front. And I thought...
They're behaving like dogs.
Yeah. And I thought, this isn't teaching this dog anything. And I got to know somebody that trained dogs for the ring, for the obedience ring. I thought, that's where I want to be. I want to be doing this properly. So I joined this club. It was quite a small club. And they said, this isn't pet training. This is obedience training. Oh, I said, yeah, I'm up for that. I'll do all of that. The rest of the club, they were all border collies, except my yellow Labrador. Mm. So she thought she was a border collie. she thought she... But she was so clever. I mean, dogs are clever.
They are, yeah.
And so I really got into this obedience lark and I was travelling all around the country, dragging the kids with me. We were going to all these shows because to be able to compete at Crufts, you have to have achieved so many points. So you'd get 3 points for a win, 2 points for, and you needed so many points to be able to even apply to be on Crufts. And I was selected and I could not believe it. So... I'm coming to London. It was when it was at Earl's Court back in the day. And went into the obedience ring. And, of course, there's the TV cameras and there's all this. And you had to leave your dog in a sit-stay. And she had to sit in one place for 5 minutes. And the owners, the handlers, left the ring and the dogs had to just sit there. And I walked out and I just heard roars of laughter.
What did Meg do?
Laid down and went to sleep.
Oh! And
for the whole 5 minutes.
But isn't that good? She didn't run off.
She didn't run off. But it was just... And I came back and I thought, no, you've done this perfectly. We went to the Isle of Man to a championship show and it was 33 degrees and people were saying, it's too hot for the dogs to work. My dog did a clear round. She was unbelievable.
Meg.
And then, but when the cameras were on her, I think,
yeah, I like
thought,
that.
I'm not doing it.
But I like, so yes, I can, that, do you know what? That story fits so perfectly with you. It's like, oh no, I'm not suffering any fools. You get, when I get a look at me, I'm having a kip.
But I think it was one of those, have you got dogs, Gabby?
No, do you, I can't, my husband's allergic, but I've grew up with a mum who bred dogs. So
but
I've
you
had
know,
dogs all my
you know
life.
When a dog is really flat out and they lay on the back and all four legs are in the
yes.
air? It was one of those sleeps.
Oh, it was that full?
It was that full.
Oh, fantastic.
So she was relaxed.
Do you have dogs still now?
Yes, yeah, I've still got two labs.
What are they called?
Wilfred. And Rosie, but Rosie's 15, so she's quite an old lady now. But, but Wilfred, but yeah, they're trained as pets. I don't train them for the ring anymore.
No, but, that's it's quite.
It's
quite a thing.
Yeah, it was full on. It was what green cleaning is to me now.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't do anything by halves. You're going, if you're going to train a dog, you're going to get the top obedience trainer and you're going to go to craft. If you're going to bake, you're going to take a year to learn how to get bread right and then go on to Great British Bake Off on BBC One the year it goes to BBC One. And if you're going to do ways to keep your home clean in a green way, you're going to become a Sunday Times best-selling author. What's next, Nancy?
I don't know what's next. I don't know what's next. It's, I just see it as a continuing journey, and something will always so does.
Do you have your own TV show yet, and why not?
I haven't got my own TV
show. Why not? And have you got a podcast?
No.
Right, you need to do one. Why don't you do a podcast?
I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do.
Do what you do. There. Joe's behind you right now. Do a podcast. But you bring joy, but also people trust you. And people know that what you're going to say isn't BS. It's for real.
Well, it's real for me.
Yeah. But also, you're a kind, lovely person.
I hope so.
You are.
I you have your thoughts about people and situations, but, you know, if I'd rather do something positive.
Yeah. There are, you know what, it's... The more people that we can hear from who are joy spreaders, who talk, you know, are positive about things, we need it now more than ever.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need to underline all the news, but people like you, we need more of. So, Nancy Birtwistle, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Well, we haven't finished, have we?
Oh, no. You can carry on. What else am I talking about? Bless you. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you.